Hello there. Don't be alarmed. We're just preparing your listening device for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving. We do this, of course, by filling your radio with water. Don't worry, we're professionals. Thanks to me, you won't even get wet. You see, I've crammed every appendage of my body into the cracks and crevices of your radio, ensuring an airtight seal. By the way, don't touch your on-off knob. That's a very sensitive area. Anyway, I should remind you, we believe in the buddy system just like diving, so don't listen alone. Call your buddy and tell them that Scuba Radio is about to begin.
We're going to start a new life under the sea.
So, am I going to drown?
Of course not. Just stay calm and let the gentle currents relax your every muscle.
Drop under the sea. Under the sea.
Did it just get warmer?
There'll be no accusations, just friendly crustaceans under the sea.
Where the hell are the sharks?
And now, here's your dive guide for Scuba Radio, Greg the Dive Master.
And welcome to Hour 2 of the world's first radio show devoted to diving. We are enjoying quite a service interval here in Australia. I literally am broadcasting to you from atop a lookout tower at the Daintree Rainforest Discovery Center, I believe. Alan is with us. He is one of the curators, managers of this fine facility. And I'll tell you what, Alan, you're a diver, and you can relate to this as well. But this is pretty cool stuff to do on your service interval in between diving the Great Barrier Reef, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. I was just commenting before saying this is a little bit like diving on land, where you're able to get into the three-dimensional aspects of the rainforest instead of being like we used to be, swimming along the surface of the water before scuba. This is like being able to, you know, climb into the rainforest. Up until a few years ago, we were stuck at ground level. This is absolutely amazing.
Yeah, now we started off on this little tour, you know, where you go to the Daintree Discovery Center, and you start off around 60 feet off or 40 feet off the rainforest surface or ground, and you kind of make your way up. We actually climbed up a tower. How high up are we right now? We're looking pretty far down, it looks like to me.
Yeah, look, from where we started, we were about 80 feet, but we're the equivalent of about 120 feet as far as the rest of the trees are concerned, because we're looking now into a gully. So this tree that's like laden with fruit and the birds and stuff that are in there now, that tree is about 100 foot or so.
Yeah, and this tree we're looking at, by the way, it looks like a orange tree, only except the oranges are maybe about a half an inch in diameter, but it's not an orange tree. What kind of plant is that?
Well, if you were to open this up, you'd actually, most of your listeners would probably pick it. They'd be able to identify it. It's actually a fig tree.
Oh, it's a fig tree, yeah. Of course. Well, I should have known that. But there's all kinds of parrots and birds and things, and there's a particular parrot that actually eats these fig fruit, obviously, off the tree. And what kind of parrot is that we're looking at?
Well, it's Australia's smallest parrot. It's actually called the double-eyed fig parrot. Not one that you see very often. You quite often will hear a little squeak flying over, and you'll be thinking to yourself, well, that was a fig parrot. But look, we're right in amongst it now, and this is one of the times of the year that's particularly special when this tree is in fruit, because the fig parrots are literally right in front of us, and we're looking down at them. We're looking down at birds that are in the top of a tree, and you know, you just can't get that in other places. It's just incredible. You know, anyone that's got a camera can just rest here and get some just incredible shots, just some amazing shots that they'll be able to blow up and, you know, and save for years to come.
Absolutely. We got a bird's eye view of the birds, don't we? It's quite impressive. And I'm telling you, I've never done anything like this, even remotely close, on the surface interval on a dive adventure. And once again, this is one of the things you can experience when you're in Australia. Now, we're just north of where we were broadcasting last hour, which was Port Douglas, right? And we found out some more stuff about Port Douglas we're going to share with you in just a bit. But we're about, what, an hour and a half north of Port Douglas on the northeast side of Australia, correct?
Yeah, not quite that long if you're used to the road.
Yeah, well, exactly. Road, I got Mike driving, so we're basically, it's like retirement driving. You hear what I'm saying? Grandma's behind the wheel, so it might have took us an hour and a half, but it's probably about an hour know what you're doing.
Allow yourself an hour, yeah.
Exactly. It's about an hour and a half if you start to drive on the wrong side of the road. which is the opposite of what we do in the States here, and that's a whole other story. We'll see if we make it back alive. This could be my last will and testament, knowing how Mike has been driving so far. Are you with me, Mike?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Okay. Which side am I on?
Yeah, exactly, exactly. But, yeah, this is your day. This is your office site, I guess, Alan. Is that true? You just come out here and give tours and have, you know, welcome the visitors and educate them a little bit about the rainforest here in the area, don't you?
Absolutely, mate. Yeah, I don't like to brag, but this is my office, and, you know, it does change every day. You know how some people, you know, they get excited because they've got a new picture in their office? Well, you know, this is ever-changing, and I don't have to do anything. You know, come into the rainforest every day, and there's always something different to look at. You know, if it's not the fig parrots, you know, it was a cassowary half an hour earlier, you know, just outside the cafe. All these people looking down again on the cassowary walking past, which is a huge flightless bird that lives in the forest.
Yeah, it's related to the ostrich. We saw one at the Tropical Cairns Zoo that we were talking about a little bit earlier in the big show. And these things are kind of a cross between one of those velociraptors and an ostrich, you think? Does that describe it pretty well?
That's a fair call. Yeah, that's absolutely right.
Very prehistoric type of animal for sure. And you can look it up on the web and see for yourself. But impressive stuff. Now, Alan, you're a diver to boot. And as a matter of fact, when we met right before he took us on the tour, he said, "Hey, I got some pictures you guys got to see because I do dive right off the coast here." Now, do you guys have some private boats you dive off of? They don't have a dive operation here in this particular area, do they, or do they?
There's two dive operations that run out of Cape Tribulation. You've got Ocean Safari, which you know, do half-day trips, and you know, that's a fantastic day out, and that gives people an opportunity to do that if they're on their way out in the afternoon as well. But the other one's called Rum Runner, and yeah, I usually, you know, hook on one of those tours and go out and do a bit of diving.
Go check out the Great Barrier Reef. Now, on the diving that we were talking about last hour, we were going out of Port Douglas. We had to go about 70 miles offshore, but here the Great Barrier Reef actually comes in closer to shore, kind of like the Gulf Stream comes in close to Florida, it sounds like. It comes in within a couple miles of the coast of Florida in West Palm Beach. It sounds like it does a similar thing like that for the Great Barrier Reef here in Australia. How close to the shoreline here does Great Barrier Reef come, Alan?
Well, look, off Cape Tribulation itself, and this is probably why it's, you know, fairly famous, is the fringing reef is sort of right off Cape Trib itself. But the reef we normally go to, you know, is anywhere from about 12 miles to about 20 miles.
Okay, so that's not nearly as bad as 70. But look, these boats that we were on earlier make the ride very comfortable and make it for a nice trip to and from the reef. And we got some more diving to do, which you'll hear about an hour, or I should say next week's episode of the big show, because we got like three or four more days of diving that we have to jump into even before we can tell you all about that. But right now, the rainforest is where we're at. Now, you mentioned it changes day to day, the scenery, the critters, the animals. What do you see most of? The birds, the insects, like the ostrich-type critters? What do you see most of when you're walking through, you know, this observatory area here in the rainforest?
Well, bear in mind, a lot of the furry critters that people sort of associate with rainforests and so on in Australia, they tend to be nocturnal. So one other thing that you can do while you're in the area is a night walk.
Yeah, you do this at night. Actually, last night at our hotel, we saw these massive bats, these fox bats or something. Is that what they are?
They are, yeah, flying foxes or fruit bats, yeah. They're incredibly important for the rainforest. They're one of the main seed dispersers. So, you know, they go hand in hand, like the fish go hand in hand with the reef. The bats go hand in hand with the rainforest.
Yeah, and when you say they have a lot to do with the germination of the seeds or something, just like those ostrich-like critters, what happens is they eat the fruit. They digest it in some form, and that germinates it or something. So it's like they poop the rainforest. Is that it in a nutshell?
Yeah, that's a very nice way of putting it.
Not really, but it gets the point across, I think.
It does. Some people like to call them the gardeners of the rainforest is another way of putting it. But essentially, yeah, look, what they're doing is they're removing the flesh. The flesh you can think of as payment for doing the job. And their role is spreading the seeds. If you're a rainforest tree and you don't have a mechanism to spread seeds, you're not going to be part of that rainforest for a long time to come. So, you know, they are what people consider to be a framework species, a very important part, a linchpin, if you like, into the whole scheme of how the rainforest functions. So without the cassowary, you know, you don't have the rainforest. It's as simple as that.
Yeah. Well, it's very interesting stuff. Very, once again, a very environmental message is what they put across here at the facility, as well as, you know, why does this animal, what is its function in the rainforest? And you can learn all about that kind of stuff. But just looking around, it's quite spectacular view here from the top of this observatory tower that we're at right now, literally 120 feet off the rainforest floor. And I got to ask you, you have this kind of scenery above ground. You have the Great Barrier Reef below. Do you have a favorite? Do you care to take sides there, Alan, or no?
Look, when I have groups, I quite often talk about the best job in the world. And I think it's a combination of being able to wake up, look at the weather. And if the weather's good, saying, right, I'm out in the reef today. I'm doing, diving tours out there. If, you know, the weather's a little overcast or there's something specific happening in the rainforest that I know people get excited about, like this fig, for instance, or, cassowaries being fairly active, I would choose to be, a rainforest interpretive guide. But look, it's the area that is the most important thing, I think, about my job. I can go out onto the reef on my days off. I work in the rainforest. It's just, it's basically ideal.
Yeah, it's the best of both worlds. And both sites, the Great Barrier Reef and the Daintree Rainforest, are World Heritage Sites, which means exactly what, Alan?
Well, it means they've been recognized by the International Union for the Conservation of Nature, which essentially is a world body that looks at areas. They assess them for their value, and if they're recognised as being a World Heritage Area, then there's an obligation by the or on the government of that area to look after it and protect it. And so this is one of the few places in the world where you've got two World Heritage Sites side by side, the Great Barrier Reef and the Wet Tropics Rainforest. That doesn't happen, anywhere else. And so, if you're picking a spot for a holiday and you're into nature, you can't beat it.
Yeah, well, it's quite a spectacular place to spend your surface interval, for sure. Matter of fact, a little bit later on, we're supposed to do some zip lining, or as they call it, what, jungle surfing?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I guess that's an Australian thing. I don't know. We'll find out about that a little bit later on. But I can't imagine the view being much better than what we have right now. But we'll be suspended by a harness and cables and getting wedgies. So that adds a whole new element to enjoying the rainforest. But just one of the many things you can enjoy on your topside activity here in Australia. Truly a unique situation where you have these World Heritage Sites adjacent to each other, and evidently this is the only place like this in the world. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
that is impressive stuff for sure. Now, the website for people to go to, or where they can get more information about the Daintree Discover Center, they just do a Google search on that, Alan, or what?
Yeah, if you do a search for the Daintree Discovery Center, and we'll pop up. You'll be able to see a view from the tower even. Actually, in fact, the photo, I think, is taken right where we're standing now.
Nice. And if you just talk to any of the dive operators, if you're booking a liveaboard or a day cruiser or whatever, they all know the Daintree Discover Center. It's a very popular tourist thing that you have to do on your surface interval here in Australia. All right, look, we got jungle surfing and more coming up on the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
Scuba Radio. Scuba Radio.
This is the ultimate predator, an 18-foot, 2,300-pound white shark. Sharks like this are my life. They're one of the most feared animals on Earth, but we really know very little about them. I'm on a mission to get up close and find out more. I'm going to follow these guys right into their hunting ground and try to find out more about them. And I'm going to take you along for a ride. The question is, are you ready?
Yeah, well, I'm about as ready as I'm going to be. Greg the Dive Master here in Australia, literally harnessed up to a jungle surfing line, or you may know it as a zip line, and I'm going to scoot off the platform right now. Ian has hooked me up, and hopefully he's hooked me up right. Am I good to go there, Ian?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you're fine.
Yeah, he's giving me the thumbs up. Okay, I'm going to ease off onto the zip line. Oh, hello. Hello. We are literally ziplining as I speak in tandem slowly. They're like ratcheting us down. How you hanging there, Mike?
Hey, doing good.
Woo! Hanging is literally what we're doing over the rainforest, the danger rainforest. It's truly spectacular. Oh, hey, crowd, hello! We're going to die, Mike! It was good knowing you there, but oh, they're okay. They're just playing with us. But, you know, this is what you can do on your surface interval here in Australia. They call it jungle surfing or zip lining, and we're literally dangling about 200 feet above the rainforest. It's a long way down there. You know what I'm saying, Mike? That's pretty...
Yeah.
That's a way long down. Hello, Ricola! All right, so we are swinging back to this other platform in the top of the trees here at the Daintree Rainforest. Truly spectacular views. Ow! I just hit a tree. Oh, look out for that tree. It's a, you know, what is it? George of the Jungle.
Greg of the Jungle.
Yes, Greg of the Jungle. That's what I'm doing. I just did a header into a tree in the rainforest. But I lived. So we have Ian as our guide and Tony. He's just letting me hang here for a while just to see if I can maintain. Gonna hang out to dry, is that the deal? All right, very cool. Watch out for that tree.
You're getting rather cozy with
What's going on with this tree here? What am I supposed to do?
Your right hand.
Okay, let's do that. Go! Yes!
All right, spin and face where you come from.
He lives another day.
Greg?
That was good stuff, Tony.
We're only halfway through the course.
Only halfway. Are you serious, Tony? Or, you know, how did you get involved in this whole jungle surfing thing? Are you just do you just enjoy seeing the terror in other people's faces? Is that what you kind of get off on?
No, not really. Really just scaring people.
Yeah, exactly. It's kind of like a whole Halloween kind of thing, isn't it? You get a rush about terrorizing other folks. You know, I like to scar the neighborhood kids during Halloween. You like to do the tours here in Australia, is that right?
Wow, yeah, especially the ones that come from America.
Exactly. We deserve it. God knows we deserve it. But, yeah, it's truly spectacular view. I mean, we were up above the canopy there before at the Discovery Center, and here we are ziplining through the top of the rainforest, or I should say jungle surfing. Is there a difference between this and ziplining, or is that just what you guys call it here in Australia?
Just because jungle surfing is so much better than standard ziplining, we have to have a special name for it.
Exactly. Well, that would make sense. Now, Ian is actually pulling the harness back up to the other platform. And how high are we above the floor right here? This is ways up.
This here is 14 and a half meters, or around about 45, 50 feet. Somewhere.
Okay. Well, I was saying 200, and I'm going to stick to it because it looks farther.
Yeah, but you're a chicken.
It sounds more... Well, okay, what do you mean I'm a chicken? Come on, it's radio. You can lie and you can back me up there, Tony. Help me out. Help out a brother.
You don't look yellow and cowardly at all. You look big, strong, and brave.
Well, exactly. Look at my helmet. What is my name?
James Bond.
That's right. No, James, it's Bond. Greg Bond. Yeah, they actually... What is the deal? Everybody gets a helmet and you get to pick your favorite superhero or whatever?
Well, basically we looked at you and thought, well, you look a bit scared, so we had to pick a brave name to help make you feel better.
Okay, thanks. That makes me feel so much better. Absolutely. So this is a pretty good gig you got here. This is your office. It's through the top of the rainforest here, huh?
Yeah, for sure. This is the closest I've come to an office job. And, I mean, I don't have many windows. It gets a bit, gets a bit wet when it rains, but... No one has a view quite like this, do they?
Yeah, no, I don't think so. It's truly spectacular. And we're, you know, ziplining through the top of the rainforest here, or jungle surfing, as I've been aptly corrected a few times now. But how far are we zipping from one platform to another in the top of the trees here?
This last run here, this was about 230 feet between the trees. In total, we'll travel around about 650, 700 feet.
All it is just a cable that could easily snap in an instant and we could fall to our deaths, right?
No.
No, okay, well, it's when you feel most alive, when you're about to die. Isn't that how it is?
I wouldn't know.
Okay, all right. Well, that's how I'm feeling. I'm living life on the edge, sure. My life's hanging by a thread, but it's good.
These cables are more than safe enough to help.
Oh, yeah, they're more than safe. That's what he says.
Scuba Radio. Scuba. Scuba Radio.
We
We started producing Scuba Radio in 1997, the same year that Designated Diver Sportswear made its debut at the DEMA show in Anaheim, California. Designated Diver Sportswear has pretty much been our supplier for Scuba Radio tees ever since. It was their commitment to quality and stylish diver designs that caught our attention then and continues to this day. Designated Diver's unique combination of silkscreen printing and embroidery have become the gold standard for those who want to express their divers and are proud of it. So popular, in fact, that many divers around the world now collect them. Of course, over the years, Designated Diver has evolved into more than just diver tees. They were recently acquired by Designated Sports Incorporated, featuring additional lines like Yak Heads for kayaking and paddle enthusiasts, and It's What I Do, the lifestyle line of fun tees that let you express your passion for the sport or activity that you do and enjoy. Go to designatedsports.com to see all the latest styles and put them to work for you and your organization today. No projects too big or too small. That's designatedsports.com. Okay, we are back here in Australia, literally ziplining or jungle surfing through the treetops of the Daintree Rainforest. Tony is my guide. And, you know, while you cruise through the zipline course here that they have set up here in the trees, it's truly spectacular. They actually tried to educate you along the way with some of the flora and fauna that you walk by and zipline through. And you were telling me this story. This tree right over here is what, Tony? What happened now?
Now, this is a native nutmeg tree, and these nutmegs, you can actually smoke them, and they have hallucinogenic properties.
You're saying that was what the guy was on when he wrote Alice in Wonderland, maybe? That's what they think?
Yeah, Lewis Carroll, the guy who wrote Alice in Wonderland, he was quite commonly smoking native nutmeg. And that's what took him to weird and wonderful places, hence the storyline.
All right, and now when you guys created this course, was that what you were on when you were created this thing? You smoked some of those, and you're saying, hey, let's go zip line through the trees.
Maybe.
Okay, that's what I knew what he's going to say. I knew he was going to say that because he has me all harnessed up, ready to go on our next little ride. This is one of the more adventurous ones, they say. Is that right, Tony?
This is one that might get the blood pumping a wee bit.
Blood pumping. Okay, we're going to do this live on Scuba Radio. It's another first for me, and if I live, well, it'll be good. If I don't, well, it'll even be better. Hey, so, yes, Mike.
Can I have your truck?
No, you can't have my truck.
Greg Bond, are you ready?
I am ready.
Ready?
Let her zip. Yeah, go. You know, what do I do here? I'm stuck.
Slide off the edge
there. Oh, there we go. Woohoo! Oh, my God, I'm going to die. Hello. You hear that zipping? Oh, my God. Yo! Oh, my God, you heard that? That was scary. My life flashed before my eyes. And it took about a half a second. But it's still good stuff. I mean, I'm literally dangling from the wire. What am I supposed to do now there, Ian? Why are the fish talking to me? I am alive, I think. But I'm backward right now. But
You're in the land down under, too.
Yeah, it's good stuff. All right, and I made it. Kind of. Yo, yeah. I'm back on the platform. Mike is next, and I'm sure he won't make it. But if he doesn't, once again, that'll be some of the best radio we ever did. More coming up from Down Under. Stay close to the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
Scuba Radio. Scuba Radio.
Your surface interval is complete. You're now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive.
All right, everyone. Step lively. Look sharp. It's almost showtime. I'll give you a final room tone check, please, and check your marks.
We'd like to ask now that all passengers please hold your breath. Take you through an underwater hip-hop extravaganza.
Underwater rhymes.
We're now descending.
Underwater rhymes.
And welcome back to the world's first radio show devoted to diving. We have made it through the zip lining or jungle surfing, as they say, other than having a permanent wedgie. Mike, you doing okay?
Yeah, I'm making an appointment with my therapist, seeing Greg the other end up in the rainforest. That's going to scar me for life.
Yeah, we got pictures. They'll be up at scubaradio.com soon, so you can go check for your own amusement to see the embarrassing positions we found ourselves in while we were jungle surfing through the Daintree rainforest here in Australia. Now, we've moved out to the beach. Jamie is with us right now from the Daintree. Say the name of the resort correctly, because I've already had a vodka and, well, you know what I'm saying.
Cape Tribulation Resort and Spa, we are.
Yeah, I wasn't even close, was I, Jamie?
You weren't even close.
Yeah, but I can use the excuse of the vodka pineapple drink that he just mixed me. And you know, what are you going to do? That's what it's all about when you're in Australia. You're trying new things, and you're trying to be at one with nature, right?
Definitely. We're sitting here on one of the most beautiful beaches in the world. You've got your vodka, I've got my beer, we're all happy.
Yeah, it doesn't get much better. Now, literally, he has taken us out to the beach in front of the resort. It's called Coconut Beach, right?
That's correct. Coconut Beach, looking up towards Cape Tribulation Beach, which I took you to earlier. Looking out towards the Great Barrier Reef, sitting out there 10 nautical miles off the mainland.
Yeah, it's quite impressive because unlike many of the other places that we've been to with Scuba Radio, this literally does look like walking out onto the set of Survivor. I mean, there's no lights from the resort or there's no condos around for miles. I mean, it's pitch dark out here on the beach and all you have is the moonlight to light things up, which is plenty. But you really feel that you're out there in a remote area, and it's where the water meets the reef, and or where the rainforest meets the reef, and it really feels like it. This is truly a cool, cool area to be in.
Oh, it's fantastic. And I tell you what, if I can't make money running a hotel, maybe I contact BBC or somebody and we do reality TV on the beach.
Yeah, well, I think they actually did a episode of Survivor, a season of Survivor, just up the road from here, from what they were telling us earlier there from the ziplining folks. But yeah, it's truly remarkable. Now, Jamie has just done a little walkthrough with the resort here at Cape Tribulation. We're on the very northern side of I don't know, we're kind of at the edge of civilization here on the northeastern end of Australia, aren't we?
We're on the northeastern coast, as far up as you can go, very little from here to Cooktown and Cape York, which is a good 4-hour drive from here. So we are the last bastion of civilization and comfort, if you like.
Yeah, matter of fact, we rented a car and we drove up from Port Douglas to do all the jungle surfing and hanging at the resort here. And the lady at the counter at the rental car company said, okay, you can only take your car up to Cape Tribulation. You cannot take it any farther or we will come after you and hunt you down and make you pay thousands, because evidently you can only take four-wheel drive vehicles on the roads past Cape Tribulation. Is that kind of how it is?
That's correct. Further north from where we're standing, the tar seal ends, four-wheel drive access only, and from that point on you're crossing creeks and rivers and you're well and truly in the rainforest heading towards the outback, and it's very rugged country. So this is it. This is the last comfort stop, if you like, before you get really rustic and experience sort of outback Australia in the rain.
Well, we like comfort. You know, I'm a warm water wuss. Also, I like nice accommodations. We're going to talk about them next. Stay close.
Do you want to talk diving or tell Greg the Dive Master he's all wet? Then call Scuba Radio now at 1-888-88-SCUBA.
Are you ready for liveaboard diving at its best? Well, then you're ready for Explorer Ventures. Explore the Bahamas, the Northeast Caribbean, Turks and Caicos, Australia's Great Barrier Reef, even the Galapagos, all while enjoying the comfort, convenience, and effortless diving only an Explorer Ventures award-winning liveaboard can provide. Explorer Ventures has been making divers' dreams come true for 20 years now, and yours could be next. Call 1-800-322-3577 or go to explorerventures.com. That's explorerventures.com.
Hey, there are a lot of places you could pick for your next dive.
The Great Barrier Reef.
Cozumel.
The Red Sea.
Indonesia.
Cayman.
My swimming pool.
But now there's a new place you'll want to think about. A beautiful island that's not hard to get to. Unspoiled. Not expensive. Rustic. Real. A full-service resort. Friendly. Really friendly. Great dive masters. Everything you need. And the diving? Oh, amazing diving. The third largest barrier reef in the world. Cavern, blue holes, walls, big fish, and sharks.
All right already. What is this place?
Thought you'd never ask. I'm talking about the newest dive site in the Bahamas. Coral Caverns Dive Resort on Andros Island. Coral Caverns Dive Resort. Hey, my time's about up, so just go to coralcavernsresort.com. Find out about where you'll be on your next dive trip. Get off the beaten track and get into some real diving. CoralCavernsResort.com.
Are you wishing for a warmer relationship with your wetsuit? Well, then you need to wear Waterproof. Unlike the mass-produced, super-stretch approach to wetsuit design, Waterproof wetsuits are made using multiple pieces of higher-quality neoprene to sculpt a suit that matches the human form. The result is a wetsuit that fits better, lasts longer, and keeps you warmer. Waterproof has been the leader in wetsuit design overseas for years and now are available in the States. Go to waterproof-gear.com to find the dealer near you. That's waterproof-gear.com.
You mean they were only scuba divers?
Professional sea scavengers. This phony head hid the scuba mask. The fin on the back concealed a scuba tube. The flippers on the feet actually helped them swim faster.
Welcome back to the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master in Australia, broadcasting to you from down under this week. We got another entire episode of the show for next week because, when you go clear around, the other side of the planet, it warrants doing two broadcasts, wouldn't you think, Mike?
Absolutely. Too much to shove into 2 hours of broadcast. We got to have four.
Yeah, absolutely. Matter of fact, we've only done one day of diving so far in Australia, and we're talking a little bit more about the topside activities, the things you can do on your surface interval, where to stay, what to do in between your diving here down under, because, well, the way our trip worked out, we've moved north from Cairns, Australia, which, by the way, I keep mentioning Cairns, and we got to clarify that. It's spelled like Cairns. To us folks in America, and if you do a Google search on Cairns, you'll come up with some place in France probably, and that won't be the place that we were talking about. So it reads or it's spelled like Cairns, but they say Cairns here in Australia. Mike, does that confuse you? Are you okay?
I'm always confused, but it's C-A-I-R-N-S.
Okay, fair enough. Just do a Google search, and you can see where we've started. Cairns, worked our way up to Port Douglas north, and now we're here at Cape Tribulation Resort and Spa. Now, Jamie is the guy who manages this fine facility. He's just taken us out to the beach. That was truly a spectacular appearance. He did a little walkthrough of the property. Now, not only do they have Cape Tribulation Resort and Spa, you have another resort. What's the name of that one across the road there?
The Fern Tree Rainforest Lodge.
Okay, let's talk a little bit about that, and then we'll get back into Cape Tribulation, because really the accommodations here are truly spectacular, because this is where the rainforest meets the reef, literally a World Heritage Site rainforest is on the coast of the Great Barrier Reef here in Australia, which is truly unique, only place in the world where this happens, evidently. And to come here and stay at a resort where you're actually in the rainforest is quite remarkable. And you guys have accommodations for all levels of, travelers, whether you're a hostel person or a backpacker, as they say here in Australia, or someone who's staying in a little bit more nicer accommodations like we are here at the Cape Tribulation Resort and Spa. You got them covered, right?
No matter what your budget, we've got you covered. From a dorm room through to a family room to a deluxe traditional hotel room, no matter what your budget, we can cater for you.
Yeah. Now, you mentioned the dorm rooms and the backpacker type style. That starts at the Fern Tree, right?
That's at the Fern Tree Lodge, and you're looking at $35 Australian for a dorm bed, quad share. Bring your friends. If you don't bring your friends, we'll find some for you.
Yeah, well, that's what the Scuba Radio Mermaids usually stay in, those type of accommodations. So when we saw that, I'm thinking of them, and I know they're listening right now thinking, Greg, we are going to hunt you down, and we are going to pulverize you for not taking us to Australia. But maybe next time we can bring the Scuba Radio Mermaids and hook them up there at the Fern Tree dorm room style accommodations. You can handle about, what, 50 to 75 backpacker type folks? Is that the deal over there?
Currently, we can handle around 54. Next year, moving forward, we'll be up to 106 up there.
Nice. Now, so that's great for college travelers, people who want to travel on the cheap a little bit here and really experience the area on a budget. But then you can do some more adventurous type accommodations where you can actually stay in a tent. You have a campground type facility here too, right?
Yeah, we have a little operation called the Jungle Lodge, which is essentially a campground offering powered sites for your motorhomes, your caravans, unpowered sites for those who want to do it rough in a tent. Or we have our own safari tents, which are basically a little bit of Africa in the Daintree Rainforest. A safari tent on a raised platform, double bed, fan, and you name it. It's there.
Safari tent, they actually set up the tent for you and provide the bedding and everything, so you don't have to do any of the hard work that's associated with camping, but you can kind of still get that experience here in the rainforest.
You certainly can. It's that camping feel. The tents are permanently fixed. The canvas structures, they're permanently in place. I don't actually get out there and put the tent up for you when you're coming. They're already there, but it's that luxury camping, if you like. When you had enough of pitching the tent in the middle of the night, the airbed mattress is just too much hard work. Give me $45 and you're in a nice, comfortable double bed for the night, but still feeling like you're in your tent.
And that's $45 Australian, right?
$45 Australian.
Which is like $2 in American money these days. I don't know. It's crazy what you guys are doing over here. But it's a good deal for Americans right now, isn't it?
It's a great deal for Americans at the moment,
Yeah, so take advantage of it, and if you're coming to the rainforest, you might as well get out there in nature and experience it in a tent or a backpacker type thing. Or you can stay in the accommodations that, of course, they've hooked us up with here at Scuba Radio, where they've rolled out the red carpet. You got really nice accommodations. I mean, an amazing bathroom, by the way, because it's actually. It's an interesting open-air type of bathroom. It's not literally open to the rainforest, but there's a window to the world or to the rainforest in your bathroom. So it's like, hey, animals, critters, take a look and enjoy the view, right?
That's right. You'll find no curtains in your bathroom. You're in what we call the Daintree room, so that's our more modern hotel room. Your bathrooms that you're talking about there, they back onto that rainforest. Big windows looking out into the rainforest, so you feel like you're standing there in the rainforest taking that shower. And you're right, the only thing looking in on you in the morning, if you're really lucky, will be one of the cassowaries, one of the native birds out here. Very large bird, almost a mini moa. And that's their thrill in the morning, and your thrill as well, if you're lucky enough to see one in the morning.
Well, if you're an exhibitionist like myself, hey, I hope to see one, and I expect to flash them before I'm done with my little visit here. And hopefully they'll enjoy it as much as I do for them. I shouldn't have really said that out loud, should have I, Jamie?
No, not really. But if I see a cassowary passing my office at 100 miles an hour, I know why.
Exactly. Amen, brother. All right. So, it's truly a spectacular resort, Cape Tribulation Resort and Spa. Now, it's kind of interesting, too, because you do offer a lot of spa services here at the resort. And what's ironic or interesting is that, when you go to a spa, you hear that new age tropical rainforest music they play in the background. They don't need that here. They have it here surrounding the resort. That's a little bonus they have here at the resort. All right, more with Jamie coming up from Down Under. Here on the island.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
Does the idea of spending a week on a liveaboard dive boat sound appealing, but also make you queasy? Well, then you need to consider a Necton cruise. Necton's swath-designed liveaboard dive vessels keep the boat rocking to a minimum. That way, you can spend more time enjoying the amenities of these mini cruise ships and the underwater attractions of the Bahamas or Belize, as opposed to feeding the fish. For more information, go to NectonCruise.com on the web or call 1-800-UW-WORLD. That's 1-800-UW-WORLD.
I'm always the first to run low on air.
I'm adjusting my BCD all the time.
It feels that I spent half my dive swimming back
back to the dive boat and on the surface.
You can learn to improve your diving so that you can feel more confident with your skills and more comfortable in the water thanks to the Professional Association of Dive Instructors. Peak Performance Buoyancy and the Navigation Specialty Course are just a few of the many PADI offerings to consider. Visit PADI.com to find the PADI Dive Center nearest you. PADI, the way the world learns to dive.
How can you possibly have fun with a jellyfish?
Well, you know, one of the things we heard before we came to Australia was beware of the box jelly. And I got to tell you, it has not been an issue. This is evidently the beginning of box jelly season, and they do want you to wear wetsuits or stinger suits, as they call them here in Australia. But it doesn't seem to be that big of an issue, especially for the divers and stuff. They just want you to be aware of where you're swimming and be aware of the conditions. Not a problem. Now, we're hanging out at Cape Tribulation Resort and Spa here, just north of Cape. Port Douglas, right? So we're on the northern end of civilization here in North Queensland. And Jamie from the resort has just served Mike and I up with some, what is this, 4X Gold?
4X Gold. It's the northern Queensland's local brew. So
this is the beer that we should be drinking if we're in Australia, correct?
It's the beer you should be drinking if you're in Queensland or far north Queensland. The further south you go, the beers will change.
All right, let me see. Let me try this. Smooth. This isn't a Foster's. No, that's like they don't drink that here, do they? Or do they?
No, Foster's, we export to you guys, but
okay, fair enough. Right, exactly. You send us the crap and so keep the good stuff for yourself. Fair enough. Now, Jamie, by the way, we should point out, is not an original Australian. He, as you can tell from his accent, it's not Australian, it's New Zealand. So, and there is some kind of, I don't know, rivalry between the Australians and the New Zealanders that you don't want to be in the middle of. That's what I've been told. Is that true, Jamie?
Yeah, no, that's definitely correct. You don't want to get between an Aussie and a Kiwi when we start talking rugby.
Exactly. As long as they're talking anything else but rugby, you're safe. But don't bring up rugby if you're in mixed company between a Kiwi, a New Zealander, or an Australian. We've learned that, and now we know what beer to drink. We know where to stay. I think we're covering all the bases here in Australia. We're doing a pretty good job. You think, Jamie? Are we living up to your expectations as tourists from America?
You're doing a great job, and there's plenty to see and do. You'll get out there tomorrow and you'll do it all. So, you are where the rainforest meets the reef. You're in the right spot for it. If you want to be pampered tomorrow morning, I know you're both trying to make up your mind what you do. The spa's there if you want to be sensitive, new age kind of guys and get a little bit of pampering. If you want.
What are you trying to say exactly? I think I know what you're trying to say, Jamie. And yes, we are wusses. And we'll be pampered. We'll do what we got to do. And we're man enough to admit it. All right, just go to oceanhotels.com.au. You can find all about the Cape Tribulation Resort and Spa and some other properties they have down in Cairns and some other places along the coast here in Australia. That'll do it for this week's edition of The Big Show. Next week, we have show number two from Australia. Till then, remember, it's always better down under, and down where it's wetter. Good diving, everybody.
Scuba Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated. Scuba
Radio. This seems the logical place for fish to congregate.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past editions of Scuba Radio worldwide over the internet at scubaradio.com.
So we're in international waters?
Indeed so.
Tell a friend and buddy up with your radio every week for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Well, it's all very nice here, but we should be going. I miss me wife and me oxygen.
Yes, we all miss our loved ones and gases. Let's go.
The opinions you just heard on Scuba Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
Okay, see now, what I just heard,
blah, 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 blah.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
Come on, quit yanking me.
Scuba diving does involve risk and should never be conducted without proper instruction and training.
Oh, what's the worst thing that could happen?
I could die.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at scubaradio.com.